Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here we are. Once again, a great night, a great evening to be with the Lord and to see what God is going to do. We have a lot of things we need to do tonight. I have a customer coming in at 8:30. And I'm going to be here giving you information. But the one thing I want to do is just take us to another level where God have us to be. I went back and looked at an old message that I gave years and years ago. And it is very, very meaningful today. But today what I want to do is give God the glory, give God the praise, and supposed to have my brother Grant, he's supposed to be here tonight, so we'll wait and see. But it's back then when I was pastoring a church by the name of Cathedral of Praise Christian Church. I was located at 1250 Dunlap, and here was what I was involved in. I want to talk about the believers and his prayer life and the witness. Then I would ask you to go with me to Colossians chapter 4 verses 2 and 6. And I want to just give some words of encouragement as we slowly come down into the year of 2013. But today, in about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago, we received word that Nelson Mandela crossed over and went on home. I pray God for whoever is. His rewards will be great, and that God will be the bless. I pray this night for the whole family in South America and for the 7 continents, even right here where we're located. May God keep us at peace, give us understanding, and let us move forward. Amen. So when I look at this, I want you to understand that our speech is always seemed to be great. And here's what the Bible tells you and I. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with grace, with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. A lot of people don't understand what you're talking about when they talk about, do you love Jesus? Have you met Jesus? Have you got the Holy Ghost? We got to take our time and know how we ought to answer every man. A lot of people don't know what you're doing, but the Holy Ghost knows, but a lot of people are not in the same vein you are. So it takes time to take it to A, B, C, and to break it down so people can see it. Now I want to give you an outline I want to talk to you about. The outline says that we should pray and continue in prayer in verses 2 and 4. When we find this in verses 2 and 4, we find some things that God has laid on our hearts, and the more we know what God is doing, I'm here to tell you, my beloved, when you fall in love with Jesus, when you fall in love, you don't care what everybody's going to say. All they do is just study, pray, and declare. Well, my Lord, think about the days when I was back out there doing what I was doing. Going crazy, doing everything I thought that I wanted to do. But now that I have come into the knowledge of my Savior, it gives me authorization to know what the Word says. And the Word has so much power. When there's power, that's the dynamite of the Word, the exhaustion of the Word. Here's what God is. God is so good. And so he lets us know that he says, because I love you. The Bible says, and I'll say it again, while we were yet sinners, God loves us. While you were sinners, God loves us. Here we are in the book. He says, let your speech be always with grace, with God, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Talk about that. In my outline was praise and continued prayer. Walk wisely before people who are without Christ. Speak with grace. Answer and share with them what has made your life different. So let's look at this outline, these 6 points I have here. Praise and continuing prayer, verses 2, 4, and 6. We look at this continuing prayer. See, a lot of people want to continue prayer. Well, I'll tell you why they want to continue prayer, because prayer is like taking care of a garden, taking care of your roses outside, taking care of your plants outside. You've got to continue to take care. With prayer, you've got to continue talk to God. You got to continue to have God in your presence so you can hear. So that you can hear from him. And when you hear from him, you can always come to an identification point. Let me show you some of the B part of this. That which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. We got a master. Jesus Christ is in there. See, one thing I was listening to Kenneth Copeland of the night, and he came along with some of the same words. We have a master in heaven, and our master name is Jesus Christ. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us so much that he's going to do all he can for us. He's going to redirect us when it looks like it. See, when you're going the wrong way, God's love you, going to chastise because it's going to be the word. Now, when I go back and see the first part, pray and continue in prayer, walk. And this is something a lot of people don't want to do. While it's all praying with all, also what? That God would open up unto a door of utterance to the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. See, a lot of people, Paul writes to tell us these words in verses 5. He said, walk. A lot of people that we live in the lifestyle today, they just walk, but they don't be walking in wisdom. They don't be walking toward them that are without and redeeming the time. See, they don't care if for some years. We got some people that listen to us tonight that don't care if people are saved or not. We got so many B-rated people that they don't care about what God wants. We got so many B-rated people that they just don't understand. See, but we need to tell them. We got to walk. See, a lot of people come and ask the question. Now, what do they ever say? Can you repeat that question again? I'm used to wondering why the old soldier would do that. Because it gives them time to think about it, gives the other person time for to look for the right answer. And sometimes when you take your time and you answer the question according to God's word, because there are some people that don't know. See, we're trying to redeem the time. Look, let me tell you something. I don't have a bone, a dog in my fight. All I have is a lot of brothers and sisters that are lost, and the only thing I'm trying to get them is safe. And if you think I care to the devil, I really don't care. Satan does not love me, and God knows I don't love him. Why? Because he wants to keep you downtrodden, ignorant, stupid, and taking the notice of what. And see, God is always there for us. We just have to give ourselves in him. When we do that, when we walk, see, because there are people that are walking before Christ. Some people don't know about no Christ. They ain't going to church. No. Beloved, beloved. Hear me well. There are some people, they ain't going to embrace the church unless there's a funeral going on there. And then they're going to go there and be halfway drunk, halfway high. We got to help those people. The believer in this prayer life, it should be his witness. Somebody would always say, you know what? Every time I see this brother or sister, they're walking in the levelness of God. They got their eyes on the cross. They got their eyes in the Bible. They're praying. They're trying to help some people. See, you got a lot of people that just don't care. Now, let me show you something. The third outline is speak with grace and sharing what it is that would make your life different. I don't mean just go there and say, well, you know, I went to the club last night and I found out something. No. Report it out to them. What you need to get them sick. We got to speak with grace. Unmerited love for the people. See, the dope. A lady was telling me today, said, what she used to do and what God got her from. A drunk man came and stayed one night while the house was burning. See, God has a way of getting us to the highest point from the lowest point. But it's upon coming upon us. Are we ready? I'm ready. I am so ready. I'm so ready. Let me share this with you, what God is going to do. As we see it in verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may, what if you ought to answer every man. Are you rich? Rich how, brother? I'm rich. I'm rich in the word. I'm rich in knowledge. I'm rich in understanding. But see, he ain't changed the word to wealth. See, wealth and rich mean two different things. See, you have to take notice and remember what you're saying. You got to be a well-studied person, a person know how to pray out, pray in, and pray over. And I will say this to all of us who are listening. And then if we do those three things, number one, pray and continue. Number two, walk before people that we are with our Christ. Speak with grace, answering and sharing with what is that makes your life different. What makes it different from them? Well, they know me as an old wino. They know me as an old dope dealer. They know me as an old gambler. Know me as a liar, cheater, but now they can't pin nothing on me because that old man don't live anymore. And I see it a lot of times, that man does not live here anymore. No, I don't have any old one. But there's some four important instructions are given. Instructions that desolate need to hear. You need to hear. First, the word continue means to be constant, preserving, and unwearying in prayer. Unwearying. We got to pray, we got to pray, we got to pray, we got to pray. It means to be unbroken. As the unbrokenness means you can proceed to go forward. Prayer hasn't broke you down. The second sense hasn't broke you down. The love you have for God hasn't broke it down. And one of the things I will say is that to be constant, unbroken fellowship, and communion with God, excuse me, means that we would walk and breathe prayer and live in our being is in prayer. The more we pray, the more God can be there beside us. Some people don't know what hear what God is saying, but God still loves us to a soul heartless. I will say this, what God is saying. See, how is it possible when there are so many things that are in our way? Our jobs, our marriage, our children. You know, there's a big list. A big list. Let me show some. I wrote down some other things here. It says, develop an attitude in prayer. A lot of people, can you develop an attitude? An attitude is, I'm going to always continue to talk to God. It don't mean you got to just lie out your mouth. You can be muttering in prayer before God. Should walk in the spirit of prayer. Take mental breaks from your job. And have prayer breaks. they don't. You always have a man breaking your jaw, because I was a 31 years. Many times, I don't know how many meal breaks, but a whole lot of prayer breaks. See where I was in that hour. And I will say this is, take mental breaks from your job. Pray always with our minds of the same duty. Our duty is a continuation of doing what God has called us to do. Our duty is to make sure that we maintain what God would have us to do. And the other thing is pray always that our minds will be open. Arise. Some folks might get up and arise early and pray before the daily activity. Spend time in worship with the Father. Do you know why a lot of people nowadays don't want to spend time getting up early? They want to get up, but they don't want to pray. They don't want to bow down and say, well, Lord, you know, you woke me up again today. My eyes, it's because of you, woke me up. I'm here once again. Every breath that I breathe, it's of you, Father. And sometimes we need to come to a real conclusion to know that God can make us to know. And other things, just to pray before going to be. A lot of folks don't do that. Spend time in prayer. Make a practice to follow that path. So sometimes the path you're taking may not be the right path. I say this also to you, because the scripture is clear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, here's what it says. Casting down imagination and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought into obedience of Christ. See, a lot of people have not yet understood. Some people can see it. Some people, what they get, can't say what they want to hear and hear what they want to say. Because they're casting down imagination. What kind of imagination? Thoughts of this and thoughts of that. That's an imagination. You're developing a mental pursuit of what you see and desire to do. And every hard thing, your mind is always geared to the highest evaluation to go and do. It will not subside and submit to the mind of Christ, because in the book it says, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you also. What mind? The mind of obedience, the mind of the dutifulness, the mind will continue to hear and say what God wants to say. Now, here's what we need to do. When we come against every knowledge of God and bring in every knowledge, well, you know, he's born of the eighth. I don't believe that. I didn't come on no eighth. Well, they got aliens out there in space. I don't believe that. I can't find any words. I know this God took this earth, as far as I know. See, some scientists think they know what. No. To think they know myself. See, God can ask this to the Joe, where were you when I did this? Where were you, Joe? Can you tell me? Can you tell me, Mr. Scientist? Can you tell me, engineer? Can you? No, well, you're not God. See, I will say this also to everybody. Watch in prayer. And the word watch means to stay awake, be alert, don't be sleepy, be active, concentrate. To fight without distraction, to be earnest. This is how the enemy gets side and causes problems. For the believer, I must say this, refuse. When the believer refuses to watch in prayer, Satan is in his dollars to entrap you and stop you from praying and stop you from and start praying, P-R-E-Y. I use these two terms, stop you from praying, P-R-E-Y-N-G, and then start you to pray. You're going to be always looking for something that's not worthy. But always, I say this to you, always settling in drowsiness. Somebody has been drowsy and wondering thoughts. see, you have to slow your mind down. Let your mind stay on top of what God would have you to do. And I say this to you tonight, my beloved. Learn to concentrate. Discipline yourself. Our mind. Control ourselves. Don't let this become something look different. Wow. See, you giving over to the enemy. Don't do it. I want to encourage you tonight and tell you, if you want God to give you these 3 points, pray, watch, and speak. You're the one who can do it. Nobody else can do it but you. But God says, and he committed unto his disciples and finding them asleep and said to Peter, what could you not watch with me for 1 hour? I know the master said, wait a minute, boys, you mean y'all couldn't? I asked y'all to pray with me for 1 hour and y'all couldn't even do it? You know what? It was a test and a trial. People don't want to pray for no 1 hour. I was at the particular church and told some folks to have a 1 hour prayer. Got there before they asked the prayer. They said, what? When you get into the flow of the Spirit, your time is UP because the Spirit of God moves you in. You got to keep your mind on heavenly things, not on earthly things. I'm not concerned about America. I'm not concerned about this. As long as I know where my trust is. My trust is not in America. It's not in the stock market. It's not in the money. It's in God. Okay, God, I can't have this. I'm down here to get more into the soul. And you promised me you're going to take care of me. And I have your word. Your word says he that abide in the speaking of the Almighty, I'm abiding under your wing, Lord. I'm not looking for nothing but just you. And I know the stronger I get doing God's will, the more God wants me to do it. And how I know to do what it says. Listen to me, beloved. And I would just say always to the people, you know, sometimes you write stuff and you know you're writing, but God has a way of bringing to penmanship. And number three, we should pray always at Thanksgiving. When someone does not something as well, we thank them. One person that has done more for us than anyone else is God. It just lets us know.
I'm going to let this play for about 10 minutes, and I got some people coming on you that still want to be a part of it. Amen.
Can you hear me? Bye.
It reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said, so it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8, 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8, 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3, 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7, 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sins, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15, 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none or permit these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30, 17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33, 6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And so choose life, that thou seest it, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26, chapter the 3rd verse, and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, I will have respect of thee, and make the fruit with multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58, 8. Then shall thy light break forth in the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God did heal the Amalekite, and his wife, and his maidservants, and they bare children. Chronicles chapter 30, verse 20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah, and healed the people. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should repent, nor the son of God that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the 9th verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37, 23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67, 2. that thy way may be known of all the earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Psalm 41:3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42:11. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Or the margin reads, surely he has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14. And then chapter 2, verses 10 and 15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the 12th verse, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5:26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90:10. The days of our years are 80, that by reason of strength they be 80. The 91st Psalm, verses 10 through 16. Thou shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has said to dwell upon me, therefore will I remember him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all.
Well, praise God. I got something else the Lord has made me do. I got some people on the line. We want to talk a few minutes, about 15 more minutes. We got somebody supposed to come on 8:15, going to talk to us about one of the greatest things. One of the greatest things that is going on is that we got a lot of people in this hour we live in now. There are children that are being aborted, and the people, they've witnessed something today. They want to share it with us. But, a prophetess, are you there? Well, to God be the glory for the things he has done for us. And I say this today, that our God is still able, and he's still with us. So we give God the praise.
Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coats. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis how great a thing Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and brought him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing but it, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see who that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and behold of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue house, which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troubles thou the master? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tomb, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in bed those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Then mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephrathah, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published him, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit carried him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? He said, of a child. And oft time it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou thine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent his sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, this guy can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and he cometh to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse and the 41st verse. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and heard him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The Word of God is always effective. It is so truthful until the night is the night that God has blessed. And tonight I got somebody that's going to be on the phone with me. If my brother is here, my brother, are you listening to us?
Hey, Willie, how are you?
Hello, I'm here.
I'm blessed. Well, let's talk. It's all yours. I'm glad to meet you over the phone, and I believe God's going to use you. So speak the word to us tonight.
Well, I'm just kind of dealing and working on behalf of some individuals across the nation that's dealing with some quite a severe level of injustices. As you know, I'm associated with Judah Myers. We're both pro-life warriors,
yes,
if you will. Mm-hmm. Fighting to save the babies, fighting to save post-abortive mothers, et cetera. You know, that's what we do. Well, I am involved in getting awareness out about Depo-Provera. That is a It's a contraceptive, but it's the deadliest contraceptive on the face of this earth, and it has been used to target people of color and poor women, women of color and poor women, poor white women. They've done it for years. But that's not what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm just going to give you kind of a brief synopsis of a situation that I talked to a young lady. She went in on August 14th, 2013 to have her baby circumcised, 3-month-old baby boy.
Mm-hmm.
Went to a place called Christ Community Health Services, funded mm-hmm. by Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
They cut her baby's penis off.
What?
Yeah.
Say that again.
They cut her baby's penis off.
What did they do? They reattach or what?
No. They actually told her, do not remove the bandages for 5 days, but her baby was screaming at home, so her cousin actually went in and went in to see what was wrong. And I talked to this young lady tonight for over an hour for an article that I'm writing. And suffice to say, they found the baby's diaper and the bandage was full of blood. They had cut his penis off. So,
my God.
What we need to do, this is something that needs to be exposed.
Let's do it.
Been trying to intimidate her. They've been trying to, you know, basically keep her from telling the story. So what I would like to do, with your permission, because I don't know how long your show is tonight, but what I would like to do, I would like to give her a call and have her call into
give
the show.
Give her a call. Go ahead and call her. Right. The time is available. Give her a call.
All right.
Give
I will
call
her, and then she'll call back in. She has a 901 area code, and then I'll call back in. I'm also going to have Dr. Randy Short call in, too.
Okay.
If that's okay.
All hey, righty. Brother, it's about getting the truth out. Let's do it.
All righty, sir. We'll call back in a few minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying to my audience, do y'all see what the devil is doing? And many of us, are we too quiet or what? I mean, here's a baby, a child, been circumcised, and the people don't want it to get out to know about it. Don't you know that it's somewhat royalty? The doctors need to go straight back. If they can't get things right, they need to just give it up and let it. I'm not upset, but I know what God has us here for. I know what God has us here for, and my heart cries out. A baby. They're going to keep the baby at home? Threatening her? It ain't going to happen. No. God has called us to a greater anointing, and it's up to us. See, a lot of folks are running around all about this, that, and the other, and they haven't even looking in the front door and the back door, and the enemy's picking at them right now. And the woman said to me the other day, she said, listen, the devil is not playing, and he is the proof. What has happened? Devil is not playing. Can you imagine what would happen? A little child. Penis. The development of his world is seed carrier. They've cut it off. Why do some people do this? Why? But we got so many. See, we got some people in America, all over the world, But you know what? I'm going to say to you, beloved, God has his hand. And do you know what? Because they have heard, he said, if you touch one of these little children of mine, and the person that did it got to pay the cost. And see, this is news to me. I got this within 1 hour. And I'm telling people, I don't mind telling this. But see, it hurt me. It hurt me. This baby ain't but a little baby. How many of you mothers out there that know the Lord understand what I'm saying? How many? How many know? See, all has got to be in charge before God. Somebody got to stand. See, the enemy don't care. The enemy knows. And a lot of people just, Lord, have mercy tonight upon us, Father. We just ask you tonight, Father, we pray for obedience. We pray for your word. We pray tonight that somebody will come. And I declare and decree, Father, the enemy has lost his power. The enemy has lost his power. We're going to take it back from him in the name of Jesus. And I think it should come now. Praise God. Hello, my beloved sister.
Good evening, Brother Willie. This is David.
Hey, David, how you doing?
Very well. Good evening. How are you doing this evening?
Well, I got a lady that's coming on in a few minutes, David, and I want you to be on it with us. So, man, look, I got the word that the lady, they would take a child, a baby, and then cut his penis off. And the baby, they got a threatened, what, you can't do nothing. And I was talking with Judith. She's been crying. See, the enemy, he don't love us, man. We got to do more of God. We got to give God more glory and get out there and get busy and let the people know it's all about Jesus Christ. But David, in our time, we done seen a baby aborted. But for a child to come out the womb and for us to go there, and they're going to, the baby's still a baby. Instead of them giving him a circumcision, they cut his penis off. Wow.
Mm.
Go ahead, my brother. Go ahead. Go ahead, David.
Well, Brother Willie, we are in a evil time. God told his people in the wilderness, coming through the Sinai at 40 years on their way to the Promised Land, he made it very clear to them in the wilderness not to do as the Canaanites, not to give their children to Molech, not to pass their children through the fire. God's really had his hands full. He created this planet. He created a garden. And he commissioned us with a blessing. He blessed everything that he created, and he gave us a very simple commandment, which was to be blessed, be fruitful, and multiply. Fruitfulness
Amen.
And multiplication, that was his design. That was his purpose. That's all he wanted was us to be fruitful and to multiply. And, of course, the enemy wanted just the opposite. The enemy has always done just the opposite. God is about life, and the enemy is about death. And so today, the enemy has great influence because we're afraid of him. We don't want to acknowledge who we are in Jesus Christ, the power in the gospel, the power of God's love, the power of the truth. We're so afraid of being criticized or being called bigoted or hateful or whatever. We just, you know, like Jacob and Esau, we're just kind of like Esau. We're just fat, dumb, and happy and going along with the world and being too afraid to stand up and say what's right. And so what's happened is that the churches have laid low, and we've allowed our Bible to be taken away from us and the Word of God to be compromised, and we've allowed it. And we, the people of God, those called by his name, we have been fooled and bamboozled and swindled out of our inheritance, out of our commission. There is more oil and gas and resources in this planet than we can imagine. I remember in the 70s when I was a kid, they told us that we'd be out of oil by the turn of the century. And we have to, you know, we have to save Mother Earth, and we have to, you know, we have to basically commit suicide because, you know, but God said, be fruitful and multiply. And so we've listened to the world rather than God. God can give us everything we need. There's more minerals and resources on this planet than we can imagine. And we just keep, you know, whatever the demand is, there's always more supply than the demand. And so, you can fit the whole population of the world in the state of Texas.
Yeah,
so we're nowhere near the capacity of this planet. And that's what's falling right now. The lie of the enemy that we have to kill our children, that we have to abuse our children, that poor blessed baby boy that was mutilated at birth, that's part of the sacrificing our children to Molech. Abortion, the same thing. And perversion, the greatest evil of our day. It's called, politely, human trafficking. Well, let me tell you what human trafficking is. Houston is the capital of human trafficking per the United States Department of Justice. And it's coming to light. I've been working with some other people. Everything that happens in the world of human trafficking is controlled here in Houston. Houston is the hub. It's called the I-10 corridor. We're a port city. We bring the children in. They're literally sold into this evil by their parents in Asia, South America. Children are also kidnapped. And it's a horrible process. It's like breaking a horse. It's like breaking the spirit of a human being. And those that can be broken are killed. And then the children are sold into, and it's not human trafficking at all. That's just a polite cover story. What this is human, this is a child sex slavery. I'm sorry, everybody. Now, take great hope. Now, don't get discouraged and turn off the radio here. You have to understand. We have to face the enemy, recognize them, so that we can then rejoice in the Lord. And so as we expose these things, just tell that old enemy to go straight back to hell where he belongs. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're children of the King of the universe. And so we can say these things. We can recognize that stinking enemy, and we don't have to be afraid of him anymore. We don't have to put our head in the sand anymore. Because there's a great move afoot, the move of God, the spirit of the Holy Ghost is moving throughout this world. And people are waking up to this great evil of abortion and perversion. It absolutely is abortion and perversion that are diametrically opposed to God's command in the garden to all his creatures, including mankind, to be blessed and be fruitful and multiply. And so abortion and perversion, that's the enemy's plan. And it's promoted by industrial giants, by banking giants, Bill and Melinda Gates, Warren Buffett, all the big banking families and the oil companies, everyone. It's all about supporting Planned Parenthood. It's all about what a great place Planned Parenthood is. And they cover up. They literally cover up the crimes, constant crimes and child rape and promoting. Planned Parenthood is the logistical support for child sex slavery. And they're guilty of Medicaid fraud. And they get away with literally murder. They're murdering women every day and through abortion-causing drugs, abortion-causing procedures. And it's a big lie. We've been sold a lie. And yet, by the way, if you look at Obamacare, what's at the front of Obamacare? What is the HHS mandate? What was it that preceded Obamacare into the stage? It was the fact that we all had to put up with abortion. Not only put up with it, we had to accept it. We had to provide it a tax, free on demand, taxpayer funded abortion. No matter your religious beliefs, no matter your faith, no matter your First Amendment rights that our founding fathers established in the Constitution, no matter, none of that matters. It's all about abortion. Obamacare is all about abortion, and why is that? Well, it goes hand in hand with perversion. We're finding out more and more just how bad this perversion is and how widespread. It emanates from Hollywood. It emanates from the people producing the music. It emanates from the people producing magazines and books and pornography. So here we are, fallen. We are a fallen land, and not only this country, but this world is overcome by pornography, child sex slavery, and abortion. But guess what? God's people are crying out. Now, here comes the good news. Here comes the good news. That's a pretty black picture we just painted. But here's the good news. There is a shining light on the hill in Zion. There is a God. Yeah. There is a loving Father God who created us for a purpose. And he never changes, and his purpose never changes. And he promised us, He promised Solomon when they were dedicating the temple in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And Solomon cried out, and he said, Father, when the people turn from you, when the people give their children to Molech, when the children are suffering, when my people have fallen, when they've turned from your commands, when they've turned from your way, then, Father, will you hear them when they cry out, when they repent, when they pray, when they seek your face? Will you hear them? Solomon was asking God. Solomon could see into the future. Solomon understood that the nation of Israel would fall. And just like Israel, the world is fallen. And we've forsaken God's promise. We've forsaken our birthright given unto Isaac for the foolishness of Esau. Okay, so here we are. Well, guess what? God answered Solomon, and God told Solomon, yes. God said, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear their cries from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now, look, God promised. Now, we can put our faith in God's promises because they always come true. And today, many prayer intercessors and people are repenting, crying tears. Honest people are realizing what's going on, and they're crying out. The evil one is fleeing right now. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a great clash going on. Our nation is divided as never before, divided more than the American Revolution, divided more than the Civil War. There is a line drawn in the land, and then you're either on the enemy's side or you're on God's side. There is a battle going on right now in the powers and principalities, and people are lining up. You can no longer sit on the fence. Everyone's got to take a side. And so here we are. And guess what? God wins.
Amen. David, let me do this. I got this lady that's calling us. Sister, are you on the phone? Are you on the line with us?
I am.
Hello?
Yes,
lady,
who are you?
On the line? I'm Brother Willie Hunter. To whom I have
is 901 area
Seth?
Code?
No, this is 202.
That's Dr. Randy Short. I don't think Maggie's
okay.
Called in yet.
Well, somebody got a 202, and I got an 816.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. Well, I guess somebody called. But what David is saying is, so you know David, don't you?
Yes.
Hello? David, are you
Hello?
On the line off?
Yes, yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. You guys go ahead and have words of exchange.
Well, that's a 202 area code. That's Washington, D.C. Have we got somebody from the Washington, D.C. area on the phone?
Yeah, but they haven't answered the phone yet. I got them on. I took them off a hold. And
yeah,
I was
you have the off hold?
Sir?
Hello?
There he
Where
is.
You?
That's him.
No. Okay. Well, I can't tell whether it said muted, so I was waiting to be unmuted. So, all right, how is everyone?
Good evening.
Go ahead. Good evening.
Yes, I was under the impression Maggie's here. I may have to reach out for her, but Brother Thomas asked me to call in, and I'm here in Washington, D.C. with the Rebecca Project for Human Rights.
Right.
As well as affiliated with Sister Elaine Riddick, who now works with me at the Rebecca Project. And also, we also work with Miss Alveda, Reverend Dr. Alveda King out of Atlanta. And everything that's being said is factual, that it says the whole world lies in wickedness. And you don't need to go far to see that that's true. And I've just had so many problems lately. I haven't been able to continue my personal research on Margaret Sanger, but clearly a very wicked woman. The origins of Planned Parenthood, and which is originally the American Birth Control League and the Birth Control Review, these are connected to the greatest Holocaust that have occurred globally in human history, with millions of babies slaughtered in Russia and in China and in Japan and in Korea and in India and in America and worldwide. just
well, you know what
me.
I want to say this to the American people. We got more hypocrites in the pulpit of the major denominations. We got more liars in the fivefold ministry. We got people who are not afraid. They're afraid to lift up the name of Jesus. They're afraid of their job. They're afraid of their position. They're cowards. And God cannot shoot the cowards. He cannot. Here we are. We're giving our life to do what we're doing. And we know God's going to be rewarded. He's going to reward us. But the enemy don't love us.
Right.
You don't love
us. But he's not supposed to. If you read Hebrews 11, the passage that everybody likes about faith being the evidence of things unseen, because everybody's caught up in the part that they get something. If they do what these crooked preachers tell them what to do. If they really read Hebrews 11, it talks about righteous people who die in faith, looking for the righteous city that God has planned for them. That's not what's being taught by these. My father, Bishop Stephen, called them blessings butchers, people who promise all sorts of prosperity from God and nothing about service or devotion or righteousness or decent living or morality. And that's sort of where the default of where the church is today is that everybody's supposed to be a millionaire. Everybody's going to get rich. That's not
get
Christ.
Rich and
that,
get rich and dumb. Get rich and dumb. We got the lady on the phone with us. She hung up again. Oh, Lord, she hung up again. I'll get you the call back. That was a 901.
Brother Willie, this is David again. And I want to echo from my brother in Washington, what a joy to hear that light, it's a trumpet sound that's coming from that gentleman as he exposes this great Holocaust around the nation, 60 million just here in America. And I think a total of about a billion babies so far are given to Molech out of a world population of, 7 billion. Yeah. Anyway, listen, I wanted, the reason I was excited about Washington, D.C., Brother Willie, as soon as that lady gets back on the phone, you let me know, and I'm going to stop talking. But I would like to add.
She's on now. Go ahead, sister. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Hello,
Sister Rose, we're here. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm up here at the hospital with one of my kids.
Hmm.
Well, then, how can we help you, my sister? How can we help you?
First of all, I would like to say thank y'all for even taking out the time to sit out my son's story and what had happened to my son at that clinic. I would like to thank you all once again for taking out that time to put out that story. And I felt like a part of my life, you know, was almost taken away from me. And I feel like justice needs to be is matter into Ashton.
My God.
Brothers, you asked if I can interject.
Go ahead.
Working for the last few weeks with Sister Rose. She has a very good man of God as an attorney whose name is Attorney Dennis Sweet. He is taking this work up pro bono for not one copper penny. And what you need to understand is this woman's life has been destroyed as she knew it just a few months ago. She's lost her job. She's struggling to keep two children alive. They were trying to take her car away. You need to know that the clinic that cut off her child's penis is funded by Planned Parenthood, which I call Planned Genocide of America. What we need is to be able to hold this family above water because she comes from a family of prayer warriors down in the Mississippi Delta that love the Lord. And we've got to help them. She really needs financial assistance so she can get to the hospital to take care of her kids, so she can stand up and make the hearings to come.
what Attorney Sweet has done as he's opened up his office as a place where people can send resources that would go directly to her. The address is 158. Again, 158 East. East, that's in the direction east, E-A-S-T. The next part of the address is Pasagula. Pasa spelled P-S and Paul, A-S and Apple, C-S and, I'm sorry, P-S and Paul, A-S and Apple, S-S and Sam, C-S and Carl, A-S and Apple, G-S and Girl, O-S and Orange, U-S and Umpire, L-S and Larry, A-S and Angela, Street. Jackson, Mississippi, zip code 39201, P.O. Box 1178, and if you need, there's another address, it's even easier, P.O. Box 1178, Jackson, Mississippi, 39215. This money goes directly to Miss Rhodes. It doesn't go to me. It doesn't go to Attorney Sweet. This is to help her because she has a child that has a major heart problem. She has been holding this up, raising three children successfully until they did this outrage to her. And we must help her. And part of my duty is to be the Aaron, and she's Moses, for me to tell the people we have to support our fighters. She's standing on God's word that no weapon formed against her will prosper. I'm going to give the simple address again. Sweet and Associates and the P.O. Box, which is an easier address, P.O. Box 1178, Jackson, Mississippi, 39215. Okay, and if people want to have her speak or have her come to a church, the office number for Attorney Sweet is 601-965-8700 is the office number. They need to reach her more urgently. I get a lot of calls, but my number is 202-710-4294, and people should bring to my attention that they're calling regarding Ashton Rhodes or his mother, Maggie Rhodes. But we really need the people of God to show some liberality. I can only tell you, I've seen the picture. This wasn't a botched circumcision. They cut this boy down to the bone.
Let me ask you something. You mean to tell me that here is a lady that's had a baby, and the doctors weren't going to give him a circumcision, but they cut his penis off?
The whole thing, sir. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it. I've seen it. I'm not allowed to share it. I've seen it. I've never seen anything this bad my whole life. I've seen it, sir. I've seen it. She's telling
well, you
the
know
truth,
what?
Sir. They meant to hurt this baby. There's nobody. You put a gun in my face, they meant to hurt him. Okay, I'll give you my address if you want to come shoot me. They meant to hurt this baby. They meant to dishonor her, and they set her up. They did this, told her the circumcision was successful, wrapped the baby, told her not to open the bandages for 5 or 6 days. She would have been set up for either involuntary manslaughter, or murder. She would have been scandalized by the unfair media as a bad black mother. And by the time we found the truth, nobody would have wanted to hear her. We nearly lost the baby and the mother, and then the other child needing her child care. We could have lost three people, could lose their lives because these inept racist doctors mutilated this boy with malice and forethought. And they're paid by Planned Parenthood, gave them almost $400,000. This is Planned Parenthood. This is what all these liberal people keep lying to us and call it safe and legal and health care for poor people. It's nothing but genocide. And I'm against this group as long as they have a building with two bricks stuck together and they're doing things like this to this righteous mother, then expect me and my friends to fight them. I don't care who doesn't like me. I'm going to stand against them.
Likewise. Likewise. I've heard a lot of things, but to do this in this hour, 2012, and nobody in Washington wants to do anything. But why are these supposed to be big time preachers? All these
they're getting that faith based money. I call it fake based. The minute they get the government money, and if the government's behind Planned Parenthood, they're giving them $500 million a year, then that means when you get a grant, then you have to support them killing babies and cutting off this boy's genitalia as just a matter of doing business. Let's just be honest about it. These ministers, biggest coward. I mean, you can find a white minister in Mississippi or Alabama will stand up for black babies being butchered in Brooklyn before you can get one of these mega preachers. It's all in the civil rights. They're all on the television. And I find every time I find a white brother or sister to stand up faster than these rich, I almost want to call them N-word preachers, who are the biggest crooks and liars. And they've got everybody in this Democratic Party, which is basically a multi-ethnic Nazi party when it comes to the unborn. Yes, I said it.
Well, that means both parties are nothing but crooks and thieves.
I feel like it could have happened to not just a black everybody child. It's not all about black people. You know, black people are not just poor people in the United States. You know, I work every day. And, you know, like, I have to pay a percentage on what, you know, I'm not just any mom, you know, not out there working, not trying to make a living for my children. But this could have happened to anybody, child. You know, if someone don't know what they're doing and you trust these doctors or whoever with your kids and they fail you and also fail your child, and they almost stole my life away from me as well as my baby's life.
That's right.
And I feel like, you know, it's not right now, this got very personal with me. It's not about Democrats. It's not about Republicans. It's not about whoever. This is about my son, Ashton Rose. And it could have happened to a white. It could have happened to an Asian, Puerto Rican, Mexican. You know, and I would want Jeff or whoever, baby. You know, I'm not, you know, I was born into the politics of my mom had us after protests, and I felt, you know, real violated for me to be living in the state of Memphis, Tennessee. And not, you know, the mayor not one time came to me and asked me, how my son doing? Is your son still breathing? It's like, don't no one even care about what happened to my son. You know, I feel like if it would have been the other way around, if I would have not took Ashton Mace to the hospital and I probably would have waited on 4 or 5 days, I'd probably be on World News today as we speaking now. Memphis mom tries to cut off her baby penis, or she mad at her boyfriend. You know how they put stuff at the in the press. So me and everybody will want an interview, but don't nobody never want an interview with, like, the news people in my got mad at me because I told them, if you are not going to air everything, don't ask me for another interview. This is about my son, and it got real personal now. It's not even about Democrats, Republicans, or anyone. It got very personal because it's like everybody tries to ignore the fact that this happens to my baby. You know, the cry that my baby gave in that room, to today, I can't sleep at night when my kids go to bed wondering if somebody in my house hurting my kids. You know, I'm all on news. I don't even feel safe where I'm laying at because people, you never know how people think of these days. I don't have nothing now. Because I was working, I did have nice things, but everything was snatched from me overnight. It's like, you know, all I can do is just trust in God and believe and keep, you know, keep stay on the right track, not be explosive. I got to watch what I say, watch what I do. Right now, I'm at a point in my life, I don't even care what I say right about now because it got real personal with me. This is my life as well as my kids' life. I'm the provider for them. I lost my mom at the age 12. I lost my father last year. We grew up without a father. I don't even know how it feels to have a father. I am my only provider for my kids. And when it comes down to my kids, it has got real purpose.
Well, let me
and
ask
I
this
feel
question.
Like there should be, you know, bloody.
Yeah, okay. Now, have you up to decided to, was it done at a hospital or what?
It was done at a clinic.
Okay.
And then,
so,
and I wouldn't even, you know, I had forgot about the circle. She was, like, so intense on doing this circumcision. She just wanted to have this circumcision. I believe this was probably her first circumcision. She didn't know what she was doing at that. And she checked the tube. She when we came in on when my baby had a cold a week before he actually got circumcised, she said, well, she have to order the proper tube because my son was too large to get circumcised inside the clinic. She was thinking about sending him over to the hospital. Then she was like, no, I'm going to do it inside the clinic. I got to order the proper tube. And so when I went back to the clinic the next week for his circumcision appointment, which was on the 14th, she asked one of the girls, did we get the tube ordering? I don't even think the proper tube was used on my son at that clinic that day.
And the clinic is not planning on doing anything? The clinic is not going to do nothing?
I went in the next day with a tape recorder, and I confronted the clinic. Because at first, I just wanted my son to think it's not about money with me. I work for a living. I'm a hard-working mom. I'm not out here trying to make a lawsuit or no way. I'm a provider.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
all I know is to provide for my kids. I lost my mom at the age 12. So I basically grew up with nobody. Like, money-wise, I had a strong-neck family that, you know, that was them. You know, my grandmother, I got doctors, lawyers, judges, you know, in my family, but that's that money. You know, I can't depend on my family for me.
Let me ask this now. Let's get down to the, as we call the shooting time. Are you willing to go to the next level and get all that is owed to you and your son?
If I got to go to every state in the United States, if I got to make this publicized, if I got to get on every news station in the United States, I am willing to do whatever it takes to bring justice and a closure to me as a mother. You know, I still sleep at night. When my son's up from 8 o'clock at night all the way up to, I want to say 12 o'clock the next day, screaming. No sleeping. He's screaming. He's agitated. You know, you don't want nobody else dealing with your child in that predicament. So as a mother,
your emotion's showing, but I want to ask you a question. Is this number a good number? Should I contact you through somebody else or what?
Yes, it's my number.
Okay.
You may also
contact
because I'm coordinating with the attorney.
Okay.
So we can I can be of assistance because I don't know. You may get 1,000 calls. That would be too much. So I'm as well open to this is what the attorney asked me to do.
Yeah, I'm talking about going on YouTube tomorrow morning and expose it. And I want you to get it in the right diagram so it can be exposed. It's time for us to expose it, brother.
Well, I'm wide open to that. I'm wide open, and her attorney has asked me to do whatever I could do to get this out. I want to also not to keep, because it's her son, it's her voice, but to make certain that they're blockers, because they're going to be folks that are going to come after, you know. They're always going to be snakes. They're always going to be folks who are not going to be sensitive to the fact that this is, you know, this is somebody's mother, somebody's daughter, somebody's niece, and a mother
better
of three.
Better hear me, brother. Better hear me.
And so,
better
yeah, so I definitely want to be
there
to protect
the importance
because this can never happen to her, and we can't let this happen to any women. I don't care, polka dot, I don't care if they're fluorescent pink, that we, this, as I said, when it comes down to PPA and these people who do these things to women or to men, I'm completely against them.
Well, the time has come for us to go ahead and make a move. We've been holding back because, see, I know this, and I know we got a lot of preachers, teachers, evangelists, a lot of people just beating their gums for a bunch of junk and ain't doing nothing. Ain't doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the child is being, not only that, it's somewhere else across America. We got to do it. We just got to do it. Ain't no looking back. We can't look back no more. I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not going back. It's time for us to stand. It's time for the daughter line, the bloodline in the dirt, and say, we ain't let the devil cross no more. To my beloved sister, that's what I'm going to call you, my beloved sister. I'm going to start getting people on this side where I am so we can start getting you hooked up, and I'll be contacting through this brother that is on the phone here with me so he can be the person who's going to be there. See, we got to have it set in a, we got to do it in a way that it can expose who's doing it. See, when I get off the phone, that I'm going on Facebook, and I'm going to let it be known worldwide what has happened. And I'm going to write it up, and you're going to see it. I'm going to post it so everybody can see it. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We're here.
Amen. It's several different ways I'm going to do it, but I'm saying, and I will have a radio station. I might want you to call in tomorrow that can reach out. And we're going to see if we can get this thing exposed. It hurts me to my heart. It hurts me, sister.
It's terrible. And we need to hold people accountable. The mayor, we need the number, the mayor of Memphis. We need the congressman. We need the council. We should even be calling Church of God in Christ, everybody that claims to believe and care about children and family should be on the front line to do something, put their arms around this woman, and if they have to walk and hold her hands or whatever surgery or what comes next, they should be there to do it. That's why these people are allegedly in public life or in the ministry.
Well, I look at some of all these big-time preachers that I know. I'm not putting them down. I'm not putting them down. I ain't going to put them up. But I know that they just, you know, somebody should be saying, why would we let this happen? That's the same thing happened when Hitler took the Jews over there in Germany. They went to sleep. We don't need to go to sleep. We are in a real war. We can stand up and quote the scriptures, and we're not pursuing what God wants done. Here is a prime example. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Do we love him? Yes, we love him. I love him. Do you really love him? Yes, I love him. And I'm willing to go to the next mile, then the next mile, then the next mile to get this lady's son whole. Not partial,
yes.
But whole.
Yes.
And I'm going to raise the roof like never been before through prayer. I got over 5,000 deals I'm going to send them out tonight. It's time we make a move. Ain't going to cost you nothing, sister, but us to get what you need, what God's got to get, because the devil owes you. And we just got to pray for each other, pray for the protection, the angels on assignment, keep a watch over us, that we do what God has called to do. So we stand on Psalm 91. Amen? And then believe God. We believe God. And then we stand on Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill, from whence cometh my help. My help that cometh from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. He will not slumber. He that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So we got to put our trust more in God than ever before. Words are liars. We got to start speaking them. We got to start speaking them. We got to start telling people, this is where America is right now. You're a trafficker. You're a murderer. You're a liar. Everybody ain't, but it's some folks in America. Some people are afraid to say, I didn't know they were doing all that, but they're doing it right before our eyes. Even up there in the United States Congress, up there at the U.S. Senate, the Supreme Court, look what they're doing. Either we're going to be on God. I'm going to heaven. I ain't going to heaven. Nobody. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. And go ahead, sister. I'm going to give you the rest of the time because I got some things. Go ahead, sister. Beloved sister, go ahead and tell your whole story.
Well, on August 14th, I went into Christ Community for a circle visit for Ashton. And she told me that it was going to take about 20 minutes. And 20 minutes turned into an hour went by, 2 hours went by. So I started knocking on the door because I noticed my baby was screaming. Like, it was a scream that I never heard a baby do. It was like more like a help me scream than it was like a normal cry. And I kept beating on the door. Me and my friend Gabriel Singleton, we was beating on the door the whole time, asking her was everything okay, how long it was going to be. Because of the way my baby was after screaming. And she told me that they wrapping up everything. She about to be done. So 3 hours and 30 minutes, she came to the door with my son. I could never go inside the room. She had the young lady from Concord, who she was in school for medical assistance. She was in the room with her, and there was a male from Concord. He was also in the room with her. A female brought me back my baby to the door, and she said, the doctor told me, I put a bandage over him. Don't remove the bandage for 4 or 5 days. And she said, everything went well with the circumcision. Here's for your baby. He did great. So she gave me back my baby. He was still screaming like he didn't want no one touching him. And we went home. And when I made it home, my sister noticed that my baby was still screaming. The whole time I was leaving that clinic, I had to hold my baby and let my friend drive my car. And I held my baby the whole time I made it to my home. And when I walked in the house, he was still screaming. So my sister said, let me see the baby. And what happened to the baby? And why is he crying? And I said, he just got circumcised. And she was like, oh, wow, let me see. And I said, no, the doctor said you can't remove the bandage for 4 or 5 days. My sister was like, well, he's still screaming. I'm finna look at this. And she kind of cursed. And she was like, I don't care what the doctor got to say. I'm finna look at the circumcision. So she removed the bandage. And I was in the kitchen cooking for my little girl with the heart problem because she had to eat on a time scale. And my sister ran in the kitchen and said, my baby doesn't have a penis. So my cousin started screaming in the back room. So I thought they was playing at first. So I actually seen my cousin cry, and so I ran to the back room, and I opened up my baby pamper, and it was covered in blood.
How old is he?
He was 3 months at the time, and she had the golf face down to his skin. she had triple tape on it, so it was hard for her to put it
And
up.
This was a medical doctor. This was a medical doctor.
Yes.
Okay. So her license, she got to keep it up.
Huh?
I said, she going, I'm just putting things down because, I mean, I'm slowing down. I'll just say this to you. You keep talking to the people, and I'm going to let you, you got 10 moments to talk. Let them, cause everybody listen. You got 1,700 people listening to you right now. Go ahead.
See, so I pulled back the pamphlet. It was covered in blood. The whole pamphlet was soaked. It was like soaked in blood. And so I grabbed my baby and first thought to my mind was go to the hospital. So I went to the Bonner's because the clinic was closed. We was the last people inside the clinic that night. So I went to the Bonner's Children's Hospital and they called. It was like they were so focusing on the penis not being there, said they didn't even get Ashton the proper care that he needed that night inside that hospital. They called every doctor inside that hospital to come look at my son not having a penis. And they was like, oh, honey, you know, like they never seen nothing like it before. How did this happen? Who did this? What happened to the baby? You know, I had so many questions. It was like, hello, my son here. Is y'all going to run any kind of blood work to see if he set up any infections? Or they didn't do anything. They gave him Tylenol 3 because the screaming continued, and they seen how much pain he was in. Only thing that was relaxing him was the pain medicine that they prescribed him. And so they sent me home with the Tylenol 3, and my aunt is a RN. She stated to me that I didn't sort of been given a three-month-old baby Tylenol 3 under my care because I wasn't no physician or no nurse, and I wasn't trying to give him the Tylenol 3. I could have gave him too much, caused him to have brain damage, or else I could have gave him too much. A dose too much could have killed them. And so I went back to the clinic the next day, me and Gabriel, and Gabriel had the tape recorder. And I went back to the clinic. Gabriel said, I'm going to record the whole conversation so they can't say you said nothing or try to call the police on you or anything because I know what kind of person you is. You are not me. And so I started laughing. So Gabrielle recorded the whole conversation, me talking to the doctor, asking what happened to my baby penis. And Dr. Lou was like, it was an honest mistake. It wasn't a cover-up. I promise you, I'm so sorry. I sat up all night and all day thinking about if I made a mistake on your baby or not. I promise you, I have all that on tape recorder. It was an honest mistake. It wasn't a cover-up. I said, well, deep down in my heart, I was inside the clinic, and I felt like it was more like a cover-up than it was an honest mistake. I said, I should have been notified that day that something happened to my baby in that room. You gave me back my baby and said everything was okay. And I said, deep down in my heart, it felt like to me that it wasn't a cover-up. It was more, it wasn't an honest mistake. It was a cover-up. And I said, I just asked for a copy of the medical record. I said, in the medical records, you didn't even report in the medical records that you had made a mistake on my baby. So I was like, to me, it was like a cover-up than it was a mistake. And she was like, no, 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 no. I promise you it wasn't a cover-up. It was an honest mistake. Oh, it didn't sort of turn out like that. No, I sat up all night thinking about your baby. I couldn't even sleep last night knowing that this had happened to your baby. and we kept the faith before, and that's what she told me, that my son lost a lot of blood inside that week.
Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to listen. Here's my email address. I want you to send me an email tonight. WillieJHunter@yahoo.com. WillieJHunter@yahoo.com. I'm already getting something for tomorrow. Amen. Amen. So, if nobody has nothing else to say, I want to thank God for y'all being here tonight. My brother, 4294, you got something to say?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes. I want to say to everyone, I want folks to be in prayer for Sister Rose, for her family, for her children, for her, for everyone in that network. I also want to ask for prayers for the Rebecca Project, because we will be assisting her attorney, and we're also fighting Planned Parenthood, which has something to do with the looting of our offices and the theft of our computers and our files, because we're going after the deadly genocide drug called Depo-Provera, which is pushed all over the country and the world by Planned Parenthood and the International Federation of Planned Parenthood. And this drug causes cancer, cervical cancer, liver cancer, birth defects, diabetes, heart attacks, stroke, ectopic pregnancy, blood clots involving osteoporosis, and it contributes to long-term, short-term sterility in women, obesity, as well as it destroys the woman's immunity, making women susceptible to HIV, AIDS, syphilis, and gonorrhea. And in fact, in clinical studies on laboratory animals, animals that have Depo-Provera in their system are 8 times more likely to get HIV, or the animal version, civilian version of what would be HIV. And with the dying from AIDS and venereal diseases and high numbers, you have Planned Parenthood or affiliates of it, pushing this drug on poor and marginalized women. It is one of the major things killing people all over America, and most people do not know that this drug, Depo-Provera, which is not used in Europe and not used in many places, that, and I have to make this a demographic issue, almost 90% of this drug is used by black women in the country. The most dangerous drug in the world, and often they're using almost 90% of it. There's no way this is an accident. The same with this accident, what happened to Sidney Ashton.
Right. The thing I want to close with this, Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for the truth that is being known tonight. And we know, Father, that you stand with us. And for that, we said thank you. And we love you, Father. Our prayers are before you in honesty. And I say to my beloved, we're going to keep the faith, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody, come on, send me an email, who I am, what it's all about, and let's go forward. That's a lot of work to do. I love you. I love you. I love you. And God bless you. Peace be with you, okay?
Blessings. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Call me back, 201. Call me back. Call me back.
202. Me or someone else?
Call me back.
On this same number?
No, you. I'm talking about your number. You got my phone number.
No, I don't. I don't have your number.
That's all right. I'm going to send it to you. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you.